Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for a great semester thus far. Lord, even in the midst of all of the things that Houston has struggled with, in the midst of some of the sufferings, and thank you for the little joys that you've brought in the midst of that. Lord, things that may not be that big of a deal to others, but to those of us in Houston, to have the Astros win the World Series, that was a great joy, especially if you're an Astro fan. So, Lord, we thank you for the fact that you continue to give us joy at times, even in the midst of difficult times. So, Father, we ask that you would just speak tonight, that you would give us a word of encouragement to help us through the rest of the week and through the rest of the month and the year and maybe even in the rest of our lives. And we know that you're going to speak through your word. You've promised us that. And so we just ask you to be in our midst tonight. We ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I would love if you would turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. 1 Peter, chapter 1. And we're going to deal tonight with this theme: living life in a different lane. Living life in a different lane. It doesn't take a reader long as they begin the book of Genesis to understand that the God of the Bible is just a little bit different than his creation, that he is outside of his creation and he has dominion over it. You see, you understand that the writer of Genesis is aware that his audience is very knowledgeable about many gods. They've lived in Egypt for 400 years. And so what he wants them to know as they're in the desert on their way to the promised land, that their God, the God of Israel, we now know our God, wants to communicate that he is different, that he is distinct, because many of those gods were a part of their creation. They would maybe come from the sun, or they'd come from the Nile, and they'd come from someplace. But this God was a God unique, like no other God. He was the God of the gods. And Moses says, that God is your God. That God is your leader. That God is your father. And so when I think about this whole thing, that God wants to present himself as distinct and different from all the other gods, distinct and different even from his world. God creates time, he creates a world, but yet he himself is not under the control of time. He's not under the control of space. And then he gives something interesting in chapter 1, verse 26. We all know the verse. And let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Since I'm a God of rule, let's give them, if they're going to be in our image and likeness, we want them to be like us. We're going to create them in our image. And so we want them to image us. And I tell people all the time, the more and more I understand this truth, it becomes very sobering. That every time I walk out of my door, even when I'm inside my house, when I'm at school, when I'm at church, when I'm just out shopping with the kids, with my husband, with my spouse, with my fiance, whatever the case may be, as people see us, we're supposed to be a walking reflection of who God is. And sometimes I'm embarrassed because I know that that day I was not a walking reflection of who God was. Especially after the night that my wife and I had had a serious argument. Or maybe that someone in church had said something to me, or maybe the pastor said something that hurt my feelings, and or maybe that angered me, and I find myself, rather than imaging God, I find myself imaging someone else who's absolutely not like God. And so here's the question that you need to ask tonight. How can this infinite God, who's outside of time, who's distinct and unique and different, how could this God ask us who are physical and who are in time, how can he ask us to be like him? But we know what the phrase is. It's spoken in the Old Testament, it's also spoken in the New Testament. It's be holy as I am holy. Be distinct, be set apart, be different from the rest of creation. Why? Because I am different and you are to be like me. And I think no better verse of scripture, no better writer communicates that than Peter. And so look at our text. And one of the things that you know already from your studies in BE 101 and, you know, how to study the Bible, that it's important to understand a passage within its greater context. And so many of you know that in 1 Peter chapter 1, all the way to verse 12, that Peter reminds his audience, even in the midst of the struggles and difficulties of life, he says that what you have is unbelievable. What you have by being born again, what you have, this hope of a future life, a better life than what you have now. This is something that should motivate you to live a life that's different from the world. Or, in other words, for you to live a life in a different lane than the world is driving in or that the world is walking in. And so in that light, watch what he says in verse 13. Therefore, and we know in studying that that's a word of summation, that's a word that reaches back to all that's been said before. Based upon this hope, based upon this salvation that will never fade, that will never be corrupted, that will never fail, that's reserved in heaven for you, based upon what you're going to receive. And you're already beginning to experience some of the fruits of that. He says, therefore, prepare your minds. I love what the King James says, gird up your loins. And many of you know that they wore these long flowing robes. It's almost kind of like, you know, sometimes, you know, when you'll see, I can remember as a child seeing two ladies getting ready to fight. And I don't know if you ever know, when you watch two ladies getting ready to fight, one of the things that they'll do, they'll snatch off the earrings and then they'll snatch off the shoes and they're saying, it's on. It's on. It's getting ready to get serious up in here. And so get the picture. Peter's saying, hey, look, pull up your stuff. Tuck your stuff in. Amen. Snatch off your earrings. It's getting ready to be on up in here. Gird up your loins. Gird up your minds for action. Then he says, and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that would be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The three things I want to help us to understand from this passage. If we are to image this holy God, if we are to walk in a different lane, one of the first things we need to do is understand that God expects us to live life now in the light of our present, or rather, to live life in the light of our present future, or rather of our future. Notice what he says here in verse 13. Prepare your minds for action and be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you. Someone recently said to me, I thought we already have God's grace. Well, do you recognize that we have never truly experienced the fullness of God's grace? There's a verse I want you to write down and look at it when you get to the house tonight. The book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6, Paul says, he says, he began a good work. The one who began a good work in you will perform it, will bring it to completion at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The work that God started in us, we have not seen its fullness. And Peter says, live your life now in the present, in light of that future reality. When I think about this, I think about when I go to the movies, and I love the movies. By the way, if you haven't seen the movie called The Foreigner with Jackie Chan, I encourage you very strongly to go see it if you're a Jackie Chan fan. It's a great movie. I've seen it once, and I'm going to see it twice. When you go to the movies, you notice that there's a period before the movies, before the main feature. What do they have? They have the previews. And the purpose of the preview is just to kind of give you a little tease about what's coming up. And what do they usually do? They pick certain parts out of the movie, usually the best parts, the most exciting parts, or in some cases, maybe the most sad parts, because what they're hoping to have you to do, when you see this preview, what will you want? You want to come back and watch the whole thing. Well, here's the good news. God has not only given us a glimpse of some of the preview, but he's actually told us exactly how the movie's going to end. And we even know who the main characters are in the movie. But one of the things that we don't know, since we're one of the characters in the movie, we don't know exactly how our scenes are going to be played out. We know how the movie ends, right? But what about our role in this big, grand movie? So he says, live now in the light of what your future is going to be when Jesus Christ returns. Second of all, I believe he says in 6 that we need to live in the light of our new identity in Christ. If you haven't taken PM 105, one of our new courses, it used to be PM 101, one of the things that we talk about in that, we make the students do a whole study. We make them memorize Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. And one of the things, if you've already had the class, you know that that whole segment, those 14 verses, talk about our new identity in Christ. Paul talks about the difference between sin as a dominant force and sins as a practice. Paul says we've been freed from sin as a dominant force that ruled over us for all of our lives. But one thing we haven't been freed of are sins. And Paul says, he's trying to help his readers to understand here, even though you've been freed from sin as a dominant power, if you learn how to walk in the light of who you truly are, it will help you not to commit so many sins. Do you really recognize your new identity in Christ? And so look what the writer says. The writer says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Don't live any longer in relationship to that old identity, who you used to be. Live in the light of who you are. I think about it oftentimes that our desires as believers should be different from what they were when we were unbelievers. Our troubles really began for us when our desires start taking control of us rather than us being in control of our desires. You ever found yourself, even as a believer, struggling with your desire? Have you ever found yourself going backwards, doing things that you know that you shouldn't do? Let me try to illustrate it this way. There was a guy in my church, and I'm telling you, this guy was super committed. I mean, this guy was, he was a great preacher. He was a great teacher. Let me say it this way. Let's say that there was this fire, and not in a negative way, but there's this hot burning fire of God. And so this guy was so close to God's fire. You know what happens sometimes when you see a fire and you're driving along the road? What do we have a tendency to do? Stop and look. I heard one preacher of old said, set yourself on fire and people will come and watch you burn. We all know what he meant. Not literally, take some gas and pour it over yourself. But the closer you are to the fire of God, the more what? It will jump on you and you'll find yourself being hot with the same passion, with the same fire that Jesus had. And this guy was just like that until he had some few marital problems. Then the marital problems led to some financial problems. Then the financial problems led to some physical problems. And he missed church that first Sunday. Then he missed church that first month. Then he missed church that second month and that third month and that fourth month. And finally, I was at his place of business after about 6 months of this guy not being in church. And guys, let me tell you, when I saw him for the first time, first of all, I didn't almost physically recognize him. I mean, his physical features had changed. How is that possible? I don't know. But he just looked different. But that was not the big deal. The words that were coming out of his mouth were totally not him. he had reverted back totally to the guy that he was before Christ changed his life. Do you know it's possible? Do you know it's possible as a believer in Jesus Christ that if you don't deal with this internal thing in all of us, if you don't wage this war with this thing called the flesh, I promise you, you can do anything that you used to do. Haven't you gotten shocked when you heard Pastor so-and-so, this great man of God, this great woman of God, you know, that's leading thousands of people, and you hear about some kind of lifestyle that this person was leading for the last 4 or 5 years, and it shocks the whole Christian community, and you say, what? Not him, not her. Yes, him. Yes, her. Because at some point, they forgot who they were. Why? Because they didn't stay in the heat. They didn't stay in the presence of God. Think about this. You image God by being close, not at a distance. And then last, but certainly not least, look what the writer says. He says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former life, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. He who called you is holy. As he is holy, be like him. The third point I want you to note is this. If we're to image him, we need to live after the pattern of the God who called us. Let me illustrate it this way. Have you ever met someone and you watched this person, you heard their voice, some of the different tonal qualities in their voice, you noticed some of their mannerisms? And then maybe a year later, you meet their parents. And what do you say? That's where that comes from. Ah, now I know. Let me tell you, there was a lady in our church that if you turned your back and you didn't know who it was between her and her daughter, let me tell you, the voice, I mean, the tonal things were almost exact. If you called them on the phone, I would say, can I speak to? And she would say, you're already talking. I'm her, because I thought it was her daughter. Why is that? Have you ever noticed, even about your own life, the more intimately that you are involved in the life of your parents, what do you find? Some of the same mannerisms, some of the same values, some of the, even the way that you talk, some of your practices. Where do they come from? Came from your mom and from your dad. Peter's trying to tell us that if we are to image him, the best way to do that is spending quality time with him on a consistent basis. And what will happen? You'll find yourself thinking like him. You'll find yourself talking like him. Because one of the aspects of God's holiness is just not his power, but it really speaks to his character. His character is different. He doesn't applaud when someone falls. He's not happy when we fail. He rejoices with those that rejoice, and he weeps with those that weep. You know, I think about you guys in this political climate in which we live. I ask myself this question, why is it important right now in 2017 to live holy? Because I believe living holy is the only way that our world is going to change. Am I not concerned about having the right politician or having so-and-so in office? Oh, yeah, I'm concerned. That's important to me, but not nearly as important as seeing lives changed. Because guess what? If all you do is just make another traffic law, I'll do my best not to keep that law. If you say 75, I'm going to figure out a way to go 85 as long as you can't see me. But guess what? When my heart is changed, I want to obey the law, not so I don't get a ticket. I want to obey the law because it's right to obey the law. With you and I, we encounter people every day whose hearts are made of stone. We encounter people that used to be in church, but they were just torn apart by church people. And they vowed, I'll never, ever go inside a church again. And yet they work with you. Your kids play soccer with their kids. What are you going to do? Oh, yeah, I know what you can do. You can break out your Bible and you can just, you know, give them one of your great sermons that you preached in DTS, or you can give them a great Bible study. But I tell you what's even better is that you live a holy life in their presence. And I've seen it happen in my own life. I can make a promise. There's going to come a time when they're going to be hurting. There's going to be a time when they're confused. And guess who at work that they're going to approach? They're going to approach the person that's been living a life in a different lane than theirs, because they're going to know that person is a person that I believe I can talk to help me to deal with my issues and the issues of life. So let's learn as believers in Jesus Christ. Why just wait for, how can I say, the call when we've already received a command to live holy? Let's live holy, not only in our thoughts, let's live holy in our actions, because one of these days, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to hear these words. What did you do? What did you do while you were there to image me to a dead world? Pray with me. Father, as I think about my own children, I think about what I've tried to do in their presence. Not just on Sundays when people can see me, but on those Tuesdays and on those Thursdays, on those early Saturday mornings, on those vacations, when the kids can see me outside of my spiritual element. I've tried my best to be that image bearer so that there would come a point, maybe when a difficult time came, that one of my sons, one of my daughters would say, Dad, I've watched you for many years walking like I know God walks. Can you help me to walk that same way? And I'll be able to say yes. Even in the midst of my imperfections and flaws, I've been seeking to image him. And now he wants you to image him. And if you do, you will be able to change your areas of influence in your life. Thank you for these, my brothers and sisters, that are preparing themselves to go out, some to plant churches, some to be in other areas of ministry. But more importantly, wherever we go, Lord, help us all to live, walk in a lane that's different, because our God walks in a different lane. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.